IVM. Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of the Musafir Stories, India's very own travel podcast, where each week we share the journey of travelers in their own words and relive their experiences with you, our listeners.
Hey guys, welcome to a brand new episode on the Musafir Stories. Hope you're all well and keeping safe. On the podcast today, we have a very dear listener who is going to help us explore his own backyard. So sit back and enjoy as we check out the beauty of the monsoons in the western part of the country. Let's jump onto the episode and find out more. So with that introduction, we'd love to welcome Jasod Motwani, a traveler and a very dear listener to the Musafir Stories. Jasod, thank you so much for being a part of the podcast and welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Saf, for having me here.
Thank you so much for reaching out. It's always special for us, these episodes where we get to interact a little more closely with our listeners and get to hear your travel stories apart from the side conversations we have on social media and other places. So really, really looking forward to this. But the introduction I gave, Jasod, is very short and concise. Why don't you speak a little bit more about yourself and also your tryst with travel?
Sir, I'm a businessman from Amravati city, and Amravati comes under the Vidarbha region of Maharashtra. So I developed my interest in traveling since childhood. My parents used to take me to different places across the country. And while I was in first year engineering, my father sent me to the Lions Youth Exchange camp in Netherlands.
Okay.
That is the point where I, you know, the travel bug hit me. I stayed in Netherlands. I stayed with a Dutch family for about a month. And later I attended a youth exchange camp. And in that camp, there were travelers from around 20 different countries. We all stayed together. Mm-hmm. And that is where I learned how the way Europeans travel, you know. So even today, when anyone from Europe comes to India, they do make a point to, you know, meet and we travel together. Or even if I'm traveling to Europe or, you know, any other part of the continent, I do make a point to, you know, talk to them and, you know, go and stay with them and explore the nearby places together.
Right. Yeah, that's brilliant. And yeah, I think that's one of the nice things about travel, right? You get to meet so many people and also opens you up to so many different things and perspectives, not just
Absolutely.
From a cultural and I guess from a sights and sightseeing perspective, but also from a more of even how different people travel and get to learn from that too.
Yes.
So really, really wonderful that you got that opportunity and you're actually still in touch with a lot of your fellow friends from
Indeed.
That camp.
Yes.
That's brilliant. And Jasod, now tell us a little bit more about where you're going to take us and our listeners today.
I'm going to take you to the place which is very nearby. I mean, for yeah. us, it's like, you know, we visit there in almost every monsoon season. So I'll be taking you to Melghat and Chikaldara.
Okay.
I'll speak about Chikaldara first. Like, Chikaldara comes under Melghat Tiger Reserve. It is located in Amravati district, and it comes at a very interesting place where Madhya Pradesh begins and Maharashtra ends. Mm-hmm. And Seth, you know what, like, Chikaldara is the sole hill station in the central India, I mean, in the Vidarbha region. It is situated
right.
at the altitude of 1118 meters. And one more interesting thing, like, it is the only mm-hmm. coffee growing area in Maharashtra. Can you believe that?
Very, very interesting. And actually, that caught me by surprise and really caught my fancy. Because obviously, it might be a little surprising when you say that this is the only hill station in the vicinity, right, in the Vidarbha region. But
yes.
Yeah, even I was really surprised because you usually associate Maharashtra and to the Western Ghats, to the Sahyadris. So that way, there is a lot of such hill stations and greenery around. But yeah, this region is a little more arid and a little more towards the central, right? Like you said, towards the border of Madhya Pradesh.
Yeah, it's in the central.
Yeah, exactly. So that way it's very different. And yeah, coffee, who would have thought?
And more to it, I'll tell you. You know what, I
yeah.
mean, yeah, besides being a hill station, it is also, I mean, as I said, Melghat, it's also, it offers a very beautiful wildlife. And then
right.
for history buffs, it has, you know, there are a couple of forts there. I mean, it's an added advantage for history buffs if you want to visit there. And it has beautiful lakes, it has breathtaking panoramic viewpoints, and I mean, it has a lot of things to offer.
Yeah, definitely a hidden gem, I would say. Even when I started just doing my research on the place, it was literally a rabbit hole, one place after the other, both from a historical perspective to nature to wildlife at one side. And a lot of beautiful things around and in the vicinity. So tell us a little bit more about how to get to this place, because I'll be honest, Chikaldara, when you mentioned, it was one of the first times I was actually hearing mm-hmm. about the place. So tell us a little bit more about how one gets here.
Yeah, so if you are coming by air, Nagpur is the nearest airport. Once you get down at Nagpur, it's around 230 kilometers from Nagpur. You can easily get a cab from Nagpur and reach to the destination. And in terms of railways, the nearest station is Amravati Railway Station and Banera Railway Station. So from both these stations, the destination is around 100 kilometers. And you know, okay. One can also get easily any taxi from Amravati to get to the destination. And if you have your own vehicle in Chikaldara, you can easily explore the nearby points. And it's a good way to explore the place.
Okay, that's brilliant. And also, I know we have been stating that this is a bit still very unexplored and not very mainstream, if I may, right?
Yes,
as
yes,
some of the other places. So having said that, in terms of options to stay around the area, is there enough options, or is it something you have to plan ahead of time, Jasod?
Yeah, I mean, see, the best place to, the best as in, like, you know, there's this place called MTDC Mosri Point. It's a mm-hmm. government affiliated resort. So bookings can be made online through this website called mahaecotourism.gov.in. And if you search on Google, you can also book through any private resorts. So yeah, you can book either through Maha Ecotourism, or there's also this website called magicalmelghat.com, which is again a government affiliated website. So booking can be made easily through this, and you should plan ahead. I mean, monsoon is the best time to visit, so it's usually packed during monsoon. So if you're planning to visit that time, you should definitely plan a month before visiting.
Yeah, definitely. And I think also a good call out, right? Like you're mentioning, what might be a good time to visit here? Sounds like the monsoons would be perfect.
Yeah, as I said, monsoon, like, they start here in early June and they last until early October. So mm-hmm. that is the best time to visit. And the rains seem to have a magical effect on the surrounding area. So you should definitely consider to go during the monsoons.
Yeah, absolutely. Maharashtra is a whole new world during monsoons, right? It's so beautiful, so charming. The first thing I can relate to is like we call, I think colloquially we call it as a Pachi green, right? It's sort of green. The moss, the colors are really, really brilliant. So definitely consider visiting here during the monsoon to see it in its full bloom and full beauty. Now, thank you for setting the context in terms of where it is, how to get there, and also some options to stay. Would you also like to add a little more color in terms of there are a lot of historical and mythological stories as well associated to the place itself, right? Jasod, do you want to add some color to that?
Absolutely. I mean, I personally, am fond of, you know, history. So I have, whenever I visit any place, so I do make a point to read about the history and mythology of that place. So when it comes to Chikaldara, it has a very interesting story behind its name. And it is mm-hmm. featured in the epic of Mahabharata. And it claims that the region of Chikaldara was ruled by King Kichak, who was eventually killed by Bhima. I mean, Bhima, he was the strongest brother amongst all the Pandavas. So Bhima killed King Kichak and he threw him into the deep reserves of the valley below. And he was called by Bhima because he was harassing Draupadi. So this is how Chikaldara came to get its name, where Chikaldara is close replication of the word Kichak and Dara, which means deep valley. That is the mythological story behind its name. And when we talk about the history, I mean, the Chikaldara is said to have been discovered in the year 1823 by Captain Robinson, who belonged to the Hyderabad Regiment. So Mr. Okay. Robinson was enchanted by the greenery surrounding the area that vividly reminded him of England. So that is how it got discovered.
Yeah, definitely some very interesting tidbits, right? Both from a historical and mythological perspective, and even just generally speaking, right? The area, obviously, in terms of its histories, it has been quite a mix in terms of being ruled right from so dynasties and kingdoms like the Satvahanas and the Vakatakas to later on the Delhi Sultanate Mughals and eventually Marathas, right? They ruled here for quite a bit before finally, obviously, like you mentioned, the Britishers came here after the Anglo-Maratha Wars. It was under the Britishers. So that way also you see a little bit of historically significant places like we'll touch upon later during the conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So the region is very, very rich that way as well. So cool. Thanks so much for calling those things out, especially the name, right? You always think why certain places named in a certain way. And it's it's really satisfying to actually get to know what the background and backstory of that is. So thank you for calling that out. Now, in terms of an itinerary or somebody who's visiting here, how long of a stay would you recommend to see places in and around the area?
So it depends. I mean, if you are coming for an entire week, even, you know, that is good, I would suggest, because, I mean, if usually when you go to a hill station, you like to, you know, sit back and relax and, you know, enjoy the beauty and the nature in the nearby area. So it depends. Like, you know, if you want to cover the nearby points, I mean, you can, you know, that can be done in 3 to 4 days. But if you want to sit back and relax and enjoy the nature, then even a week is fine in that terms.
Okay, awesome. Sounds good. Now, in terms of the itinerary itself, how would you like to break this up for our listeners, for somebody visiting the place? How would you like to take us around and what places do you want to cover off?
So I'll be speaking about Melghat Tiger Reserve initially, because that in itself is a very, huge wildlife experience. So I'll be talking about Melghat first, and then I'll be taking you to the forts and the nearby attractions. When we talk about Melghat, I mean, Melghat is... It is located on the southern offshoot of Satpura Hill Range, and in the hill range is called the Gwaligarh Hill. And you know what, Saif? It is the first tiger reserve of Maharashtra, and it is still one of the biggest tiger reserves in the country in terms of area. It has area of around 1674 square kilometer, and the name Melghat means the confluence of various ghats or valleys, and there's this park called Gungamal Natural Park, which is the part of Melghat Tiger Reserve. Yeah, it has around 82 Bengal tigers and the other prominent animals such as sword bear, Indian gore, and leopards. Like, you were saying
No, I was just saying that because usually it still seems to be very, very underrated, right? Even though you're saying it's the first one in Maharashtra and one of the biggest ones by area. These days you hear a lot about the ones in the vicinity. That area in itself, that region along the Maharashtra and Madhya Pradesh, that belt, it's rich in so many different wildlife sanctuaries. And you usually tend to hear about Satpuras and the Tadobas and all of them. Melghat, actually, that way, you're saying that it's the first one, so not very very, very underrated, I would say.
And exactly, it's very underrated, I mean, once if anyone travels here, they'll definitely suggest to their folks to, you know, visit this place.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, tell us a little bit more about your experience visiting there, and what are some of the different options available in terms of safaris and things like that?
Yeah, I mean, Melghat, when we talk about Melghat, it offers different activities. Like, you know, they have day safari and night safari. So they have this mashan stays, like, you know, they have built this wooden tree houses where you can, you know, enjoy this experience. And then they have this trekking, hiking, camping, elephant rides. Mm-hmm. So it has a lot of things to offer.
And you said in terms of the animals or the animals in the habitat, tigers obviously will be the main attraction, but apart from that, the sloth bear, you said, and the wild dogs?
Yeah, the sloth bear, and then there's the Indian gore, there are nilgais and leopards, sambar deer.
Okay, interesting. And what about options for safaris? Like, usually how many safaris do they have a day? And did you actually take up that option of going on a safari?
Yeah, I did. I mean, as I said, this is very nearby from my place. So, you know, we usually make a point to visit there during every monsoon. And during this, I mean, if you want to spot a tiger, summers is the good time to spot a tiger. And again, the booking, as I said, you have to pre-book the safari online to, you know, get your slot confirmed. So you can opt for either the day or the night safari here.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that definitely does sound like a really nice place. And I was also looking up a few videos and pictures of the place. In terms of sighting, obviously, summer months seem to be a little more better suited if you're going there with an intention of sighting. But even monsoons, for that matter, right? It just transforms completely. The forest completely transforms in green, and just taking like a jeep safari ride that time seems like quite the experience. Yeah.
The only thing is, I mean, sometimes monsoon, they close the safaris because it's very difficult to go through the jungles. But yeah, sure. If you get lucky, you can enjoy both the things in monsoon.
Awesome. Cool. Thank you for calling that out. And do make note, this is one of the key points to be covered off during your trip, during your itinerary of Chikaldara, the Melghat Tiger Reserve and the National Park. Any other points you'd like to call out before we move to the next destination?
I'll be taking you to this forts. I mean, for a history buff, I mean, these forts are really a magnificent view. I'll be speaking about the history behind these forts.
Okay, yeah, wonderful. And in terms of the distance, how far away would the forts be, say, from the city center, or how much of a drive or a journey is this?
As I said, once you take a cab from Amravati to Chikaldara, it's around 100 kilometers. So okay. once you reach Chikaldara, and from there, all these excursions are nearby. I mean, from if you're staying at the government resort, which is called MTDC Mosri Point, from there around, you can, you know, it will take around 20 to 25 minutes to reach the fort.
Okay, great. Awesome. So which fort are you taking us to first?
Yeah, I'll be taking you to Gwaligarh Fort. And Gwaligarh Fort, it was a stronghold of the Maratha empires toward north of the Deccan Plateau.
Right.
You know, Sev, the fort takes its name from the Gavli, like cowherds who inhabited the Birar, the modern-day Amravati, for centuries. That is how it got its name. Like, and earlier, the fort was likely just made of mud, and the exact date of construction is not known. But according to the Persian historian Firista, records that Ahmad Shah Wali, the ninth king of the Muzaffarid dynasty, built Gwaligarh when he was encamped at Lichpur in 1425.
Okay. Yeah, so it seems like it's like way back from the 15th century, right?
Over
500
years
old. But I guess it's been reconstructed since then by the Marathas, because the pictures I saw, it's quite the fort, right? It's not like a small mud fort or anything. It's built quite robustly. And depending on what time of the year you visit as well, if you're visiting here sometime after the monsoons, it has that very lush green surroundings and some great viewpoints as well, right?
Yeah, you can easily take a walk during, like, you know, if you're going in monsoons, you can visit during the early morning or evening and take a walk around the fort. And it has, you know, the fort has several inscriptions in Persian recording the date of the building on each of its seven gates.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, that we also think it has that little bit of mix of both. Like you said, it was initially built by perhaps some Persian kings from a different dynasty, but mostly later on it was fortified and used by the Marathas for the largest part. And I also looked up that this was actually one of the places one of the points during the Second Anglo-Maratha War where a lot of the battles took place, and it has gone down in folklore as well, these battles. So that way, it's really significant as well. Yeah,
exactly. And the same way, this Narnala fort, the other fort, which it is also known as Shahnur Fort, it was built by Gond dynasty in 10 AD.
Okay.
And later on, it was taken by the Mughals in 15th century, and it was renamed as Shahnur by Islamic rulers. But again, it was acquired and rebuilt and got its name Narnala by Rao Rana Narnal Singh Solanki, who migrated from Tong district in Rajasthan.
Okay, sounds good. Tell us a little bit more about this fort as well. Like you said, even this one dates back to quite early on, back in the day around 10 AD. And after that, it's exchanged hands several times as well, like you said, right? Firstly, the Mughals and then the Marathas.
Exactly, yeah. And the area when we speak about the area of this force, it covers the area of around 362 acres, and it is made entirely from granite, white, and yellow stones.
Interesting. And also, I saw that these even these gateways, right? It has that. I guess they were just built during a later point in time, but they have the, I guess, the little bit of a Mughal influence. So that way, this
Exactly.
fort, the gateways of the fort, they stand out from, say, compared to your Galligarh fort, right? It's very different in that sense.
Exactly, they have these two, like Delhi Darwaza and Sherpur Darwaza. So when you visit, you'll get the feel of both this Mughal and the Rajput touch to it.
Architecture
There's
styles,
this
right? Yeah.
the lotus motif. I mean, they have this inscribed the lotus motif. It's called Ashtakamal on the or the eight petal lotus, and it was a symbol of the Raja Narnar Singh's dynasty.
Okay, yeah, interesting. And another interesting thing I saw was there's a huge cannon here as well, right? Jasod, did you get a chance to look at that? I don't know where exactly it is, but it is like a really long cannon along one of the ramparts of the fort. So that was also something really interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. It's a good place to take pictures. I mean, yeah,
Yeah. Exactly. So that's probably one of the other things you can check out. But again, it's not, say, one of the other, because Maharashtra is famous for a lot of other forts as well, right? Along the Sahyadris, especially if you go for all
true.
these treks, you'll come across a lot of forts. So it's still this one, these two, I would still say very, very underrated and might not have as many tourists as some of those forts, right? So that way.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine? I mean, if you're visiting a hill station, you will go with an idea of, a good nature experience. But
Yeah.
this fort give an added advantage of, testing the history of the place and
Yeah,
stuff.
absolutely. So that way, also, it's a very wholesome trip that you get to experience several different things as a part of that same journey, that same itinerary. Cool. In terms of times one would like to or one would ideally spend at these two places, do you think, say, between 2 to 3 hours at each place should be sufficient for somebody
Yeah,
to look around?
that should be good because Seth, you also get to do trekking around this fort. So yeah, if you
Okay.
go early morning, so you should be good with if you have 3 to 4 hours in your hands, and you can do a good trekking at the top of the fort, and come back and relax.
Okay, great, awesome. So we started off with nature and wildlife related trip experience. We spent the day at the Mail Ghat, and now the next day we're kind of spending it more. Although it's still nature, it's still nicely kind of peppered and it's spread out with history as well to add to the experience visiting these two forts. What next do you suggest we go and visit?
So, I mean, after taking you to the forts, I'll be taking you to the nearby attractions. We'll be going to the lakes and the waterfalls.
Okay.
So, Seth, there is this lake called Sakhar Lake. So it's near the ancient cave temple named Devi Point, and the
Okay.
resident goddess has no name, and it is just known simply by the name as Devi.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, even in that regards, right? There's a lot of, especially these around these forts and in these hill stations, there's a lot of such hidden temples around
Exactly,
that you
yeah.
might encounter, right, while you head out. So this is perhaps one of them that you should definitely check out, and it's called the Devi Point, you said, right? And one other interesting thing I saw about this Sakar, or I guess even in Urdu we use the same as Shakar, right? Basically
Yes,
sugar.
exactly.
That's
Sugar,
what you call
yeah.
for. And apparently the pond in the premises, or the lake rather, right, that we're speaking of, it has like really sweet water.
Sweet
For some
water,
reason,
that's how the
know
name,
what it
yeah, that's
is.
how the name came, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's how the name is derived. So some interesting like history behind the name of the place or name of the lake as well. And this one should be a quick visit, I'm assuming, right? Since you're just
Yeah.
driving by or stopping by. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a quick visit. I mean, you can take pictures. I mean, if for the photographers who are interested, there's a good view around the lake.
Yeah, and also perhaps These are most of the water bodies, I'm assuming, will be much better to be visited while in the monsoons, right?
In the monsoons,
they'll just
yeah.
be full yeah. and flowing, so that way it might be a good time to visit. There was a few other lakes also maybe you'd like to quickly touch upon in the vicinity, right? There's spaces.
In the vicinity, there's this place called Bill Lake,
right?
Which was also built during the British colonialism.
Right.
So that is also nearby. I mean, if you're interested, you can also, yep. you know, visit there.
Yeah. And there was another one called as a Kalapani Lake. Perhaps that's also somewhere close by one could visit. And again, like
yeah.
I said, just given the strategic location of the place and the monsoons, a lot of such water bodies around that pop up around seasons, right? Around the monsoons
exactly,
from
yeah.
time to time. So definitely stop by for some good pictures and also just to spend some time around these water bodies, right?
So yeah, I mean, I was talking about, I mean, when it comes to views, besides the lake, there's this point called Hurricane Point, and it
okay.
is situated in the southern region of the Upper Plateau. And mm-hmm. from this point, you can see the Gwaligarh Fort or the Mosri Village or the Virat Hills. I mean, it's the best view from this Hurricane Point.
Yeah, I think the good thing about visiting hill stations and especially a lot of places in Maharashtra as well, right, is that given that you have these beautiful valleys, and in this case, mostly around the Satpura ranges, you get a number of such beautiful viewpoints. In this case,
absolutely.
It's the Hurricane Point. But yeah, not just you get views of, say, the sunrise or the sunset, depending on where you are. But in addition to that, if you go in the monsoons, it's like a completely different view you get of these spaces, right? So
yes
yeah, definitely check them out. Yeah,
yeah. While we are speaking about Hurricane Point, Seth, like there are also a couple of more, like, you know, if you want to get a panoramic view, there's this Mosri Point and again Panchbol. So Mosri Point,
okay.
this Mosri Point, it is located just nearby this MTTC resort, and
okay.
it's the best time to go to this point is either early morning or during the evening. I mean, it offers amazing view of sunrises and sunsets. So you should definitely, you know, cover this Mosri Point during your visit.
Okay, wonderful.
And this Panchbol is it's a point which is around 4 kilometers away from Bear Lake, and it provides
okay.
The panoramic view of the surroundings. And you can also view coffee plantations from Panchbol on one side, and there are like close to 5 hills that come together to form a huge valley in the middle, which can be observed from this
okay.
point.
Okay, I guess the punch in the Panchbol name is a reference to those 5 hills, I'm assuming.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'll tell you the significance of the name it got from, like,
okay.
It is believed that if you shout anything from this point, you can hear the echo back not once but 5 distinct times. Hence the name Panchbol, which means 5 echoes.
Oh, okay. Very interesting. Almost like a eco point then. It's just that.
So this is like a must go when you go to Chikaldara. You should definitely visit Mosri Point and Panchbol Point.
Okay. Yeah, very interesting. Yeah, not just for the views, but sounds like it's a good echo point as well. So some monkeying around, I guess, go and shout out your name and wait for the echo. Cool. That's nice. Yeah, a lot of these, probably I'm repeating now again and again, but just given the terrain of the place, right, given the beautiful valleys and also really plush green around Satpura ranges as well as the monsoons, things like these viewpoints and lakes and things like that, they just prop up from time to time during the monsoons
yeah.
and should definitely be visited as a part of the trip.
Yeah, even like, you know, as you said, during the monsoon, you get to see the magnificent waterfalls. Like, you know, there's this Bhimkund waterfall.
Okay.
I mean, Bhimkund is important to religious devotees at this place. And it's close to around 3,500 feet deep.
Oh, okay.
It is said that Bhima, Bhima killed Kichaka over here. And Kichaka was brother-in-law of the ruler King Virat. And Bhima killed him to save Draupadi. And threw his body deep in the valley and washed his blood-stained hands in this stream.
Okay, yeah. So this is basically the reference to the earlier story you mentioned, right? About how the name is derived. It's a reference again to that. And Bhimkund, that's what this is called, right?
Yeah, and it has the, you know, brilliant scene during the monsoon. You can see the cascading waterfalls from this point.
Okay, wonderful. Yeah, just make it a point to cover off all of these. And what's great is knowing about a little bit of the history of the place as well, and how the names derived, and what the mythological and historical significance of these places is. I think that kind of adds it, like you said, Sone Pe Suhaga, right? It makes it that way that it kind of improves the experience even more.
Yeah. I mean, Bhimkund, besides Bhimkund, like, you know, this Pakkadari and Kalakund waterfalls also. I mean, if the traveler is interested in watching the waterfalls, he can also visit to Pakkadari or Kalakund waterfalls, which is like, you know, around it's around 5 kilometers from Adanadi River.
Okay, yeah. I saw that these two waterfalls, actually, they are quite huge that way, right? Comparatively, they're much, much bigger. And also, there's a few interesting treks one could make from nearby villages to these waterfalls. Just those treks also are amazing, especially given the time of the year, if you choose when it's nice and green. It just adds to the whole experience. So for those enthusiasts of outdoors and treks and hikes, I think this makes for some great treks visiting these waterfalls as well.
Yeah, they're quite a, like, you know, there are many local groups. I mean, in the nearby Paratwara city, there are many people who take to this to the trekking points around this Melghat and Sikarghara. So if you have got time in your hand, you can, you know, pre-plan. If you are with a group, you can, you know, tell them that, you know, you want to visit with the group, and they can make all the arrangements and take you for trekking or hiking around this areas.
Okay, wonderful. It's the Pakkadari and Kalakund waterfalls, so just make it a point to keep those as well if you're one of those more adventurous kinds who wants to also cover off trekking and hiking during the itinerary. Awesome. Yeah. Thanks for calling those out. Any other points of significance you'd like to touch upon, Jasod?
Yeah, there's this another place which has got a religious importance. It is around 45 kilometers from Sikarghara, and it is around 7 kilometers from the nearby city, Paratwara city.
Okay.
It comes in Madhya Pradesh. It's like, you know, it's on the border. And it's situated on the Satpura mountain range. I'm talking about Muktagiri. The name of the place is called Muktagiri.
Mm-hmm.
Muktagiri has a collection of around 52 small temples.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a Jain temple, like, of around 52 small temples constructed together.
Interesting. Yeah, so if you're looking to add a little bit more in terms of religious points to visit as well, as a part of the itinerary, there's always the option, but it might be a little way off. You said about 45 or 50 kilometers from Sikarghara.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, and these are more Jain temples, right? That's what
they're Jain temples. Yeah, well, like, okay. You know, if you want to reach to the top of the temple, you have to there are around 600 stairs which will take you to the top of the temple.
Okay. Yeah, so just keep that in mind. But yeah, religiously also very significant place for the Jains. So there might be a lot of pilgrims visiting these places as well. Plan it out accordingly. Any other points of interest apart from the ones you've called out so far, Jasod?
If a traveler is interested in watching museums, there are also a couple of museums around Sikarghara. Okay. And the one is the Maharashtra Forest Rangers College Museum, and the other one is the Melghat Tiger Project. So the first museum, this Maharashtra Forest Rangers College Museum, consists of a wide range of samples of various wild animal species and plants.
Uh-huh, interesting.
And the other one, the Melghat Tiger Project, you know, they have built the museum considering the issue of the depleting numbers of tigers in mind.
Okay, yeah. And I'm assuming these are, say, for example, the Melghat Tiger Reserve, that museum is probably in the vicinity of the Tiger Reserve itself, yeah?
Yes.
So you can just add it during your stay at Melghat. Just talk a little bit about the locals and the people of the area as well, Jasod. Like,
sure.
I know obviously this is in Maharashtra and the border of Maharashtra and Madhya Pradesh, so language wise perhaps Marathi would be the
Marathi,
most prominent.
Yes. Yeah. I mean if you travel to the interiors, and there's this Adivasi ethnic group, I mean, which is predominantly found in Khandwa, Brahmanpur, Betul and Chindwara districts of Madhya Pradesh and the adjoining areas of the Melghat Tiger Reserves. The Adivasi ethnic group is known by the name of Korku tribe. So they speak Korku language, which is written using Devanagari, and it's a dialect of Marathi, probably a dialect of Marathi.
Okay, yeah, cool. Awesome, thank you for calling that out. It's the locals of the place, and they're called as the Korku tribes, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, thank you for wonderfully taking us around, calling out these important places. One can easily cover off. Obviously, if you are just here for a weekend, you have a lot of things to do. But even beyond that, right, you could easily stretch this to a week-long itinerary, as
absolutely,
Jasod mentioned. And there's a bunch of options.
As you said, I mean, if you're coming for a week, come during. You should visit during the monsoon. I mean, that should be the best time.
Absolutely. And finally, before we start to wrap this up, I think there's only a couple other things that I, while looking up, came across as well. There's a number of windmills that one can encounter as well as you're driving or approaching the region, right? So there's a number of windmills, and there's also, I believe, a project coming up. Not sure what the status of this project is, but there is a project to build the longest skywalk bridge, I believe, in the area as well.
Even I read about it. I think it's in the pipeline, sir.
Okay.
It's in the pipeline. I think it will take some more time to, you know, build that.
Yeah, especially the location, right? Imagine having a glass skywalk type of a bridge built
to get
these wonderful views. Yeah, it might really be quite the thing to check out. So yeah, fingers crossed, hopefully this goes per plan and it's not too far off in the future. So you can check it out when you plan your itinerary of Chikaldera.
Yes.
As we start winding this up, Jasod, any final thoughts you'd like to share?
Yeah, just one thing. I mean, when you go from Amravati or Nagpur, once you reach Paratwada, which is the nearest city, I would suggest to take the off location. I mean, there are two. I mean, it will be difficult for me to explain while on the call, but once you reach Paratwada, you can ask any local people from there that, you know, how to reach Chikaldera. They'll tell you take the longer route because it offers a better scenic view compared to the shorter one. So, you know, it will be more easily explained by the local people when you travel across. Or maybe, you know, even if the driver driver would know about the longer route. I mean, it offers a great scenic view when you take the longer route.
Wonderful. We'll keep that in mind. And thank you so much, Jasod, for beautifully calling this out. Really, really a hidden gem. And even like I said earlier on, I did not know too much about this place before you mentioned this to me and pitched this to me. So really glad that we got to talk about this and discover the so many different layers within Chikaldera, right from its offering of the wildlife to the forts to the tiger reserve, as well as these other religious, as well as interesting places like the waterfalls, the lakes, everything to do with nature.
Absolutely.
Right, so thank you so much for calling it out, and always nice to hear this from a local who's been there several times, so getting to know those little nitty-gritties of visiting the place, so that the trip and the itinerary can be that much more enjoyable. So thank you so much. And before I let you go, would you also quickly like to share with our listeners how they can reach out to you if they want to plan a trip to Chikaldera?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll be more than happy to, you know, help anyone to plan their trip. They can, you know, they can ping me on my Instagram account. It's by the name Jasod, Jasod _M, as in Jasod Motwani. So you can easily send me a message on Instagram or Facebook, and I can help you plan with your itinerary.
Yeah, definitely. We'll definitely make sure to include all of those social media handles on the show notes section of the podcast, so that way listeners and people who are wanting to travel can reach out to you for any sort of tips on planning. Thank you so much, Jasod. That was a lovely conversation, and always joyous and heartwarming to hear from listeners, and especially in this case, also hear from a local.
Same here, sir. Thank you so much for having me here with you.
Thank you. It was our pleasure. Thank you, Jasod. That was yet another great episode on the Musafir Stories. Make sure to show us some love by sharing the podcast with your friends and family. We are on Instagram and Twitter at Musafir Stories. If you like this podcast, don't forget to check out other interesting podcasts on the IVM network. You can listen to us on the IVM podcast app or the website. Follow us on our social media.